Welcome to the Fame Up TV podcast, where we cover the latest news on influencer marketing, content creators, and the business side of it all. Listen up as we help you master the industry and fame up. Here's your host, Fed.
What's up, guys? Fed here, coming at you from Johannesburg, South Africa. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for joining. Today, I'm talking about the YouTube algorithm in 2018, what it is, how it works, and things that you can do to help boost your rankings. Let's get into it. So you might think that in 2018, is YouTube still a channel that you can try get into? There's just, you know, over a billion users worldwide, a lot of real like competition, a lot more difficult to start ranking and, you know, being found. In my opinion, definitely. I'm based in South Africa and it's very much a growing market. It's an emerging market. So with 54% internet penetration, just the reach and the audiences still not being in digital, as we can see, where majority of brands are only spending between 20 to 30% on digital. I think it's a massive opportunity, especially for myself in this market, because even though it's small now, it's definitely got a lot of scope for growth. And you know, one of my challenges to myself is to see how big of a YouTuber and podcaster I can become in not just South Africa, but Africa as a continent, and seeing how the market expansion is going to be able to fuel my growth. If we're thinking about the YouTube algorithm and just, you know, trying to break it down in layman's terms, what is it? It's pretty much a mathematical formula, a computerized system that helps determine what videos people are going to watch. So it's something like Instagram or Facebook have, where the feed of your profile is not chronological anymore, but there's an algorithm that determines what kind of posts you are going to be seeing based on your preferences and certain data points. This is pretty much the whole thing, you know, where you're looking at GDPR and the Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal. It's all around this data. Now, there's over 500 hours of video uploaded to YouTube every minute. So YouTube needed to find an automated way to help you find the videos, but also show you the videos proactively that you might like. Now, there's also an implication from the point of view that it means that all your subscribers or audience may not see the video because there is this algorithm that determines what they see. It's not a chronological order. So there's an implication there from an advertising perspective where basically they're pushing brands and you know, anyone that wants to have their content seen, push advertising pretty much into that space. What we know about the algorithm is that when it first started, basically the ranking was based on how many views a video would get. Then that's when everybody jumped on the bandwagon. It became the Wild West, clickbait, just, you know, keyword stuffing, just really poor experience where you click on the video and it's got absolutely nothing to do with the title or the about. Really, really disappointing. So what then YouTube did in around 2012 is they switched that main metric to watch time. So it's really how much time does someone spend watching your videos? So that's really the big major change that then came into play. There's a couple of different ways or places that the algorithm can affect your content. And there's pretty much six of them. So the first is on the homepage. That determines the videos that you're pretty much going to be seeing. Then there's the suggested video streams, the trending stream, which is on your right-hand side. And they were also testing it under the viewer subscriptions. A couple of weeks ago, there was a massive outcry by the creator community because basically they were saying that now the algorithm is going to be in the subscriptions tab, which means that the followers who subscribe to, you know, pretty much see all the content that they release on necessarily going to be able to see all the videos being put out. You know, YouTube came out and said we're only testing it and, you know, it may not come to fruition. Or if it does, then, you know, you have the ability to turn it off. The thing is, most people, they most likely don't know where, you know, to turn it off, or they actually wouldn't go to the trouble of turning it off. If we kind of break down the data points that, or the sort of key areas that YouTube looks within the algorithm, they released a white paper called Deep Neural Networks for YouTube Recommendations. There's a link to a PDF which at a high level describes how the algorithm works. It does get quite deep into maths and formulas. So if that's of interest to you, I will link to it in the show notes. But basically, there's four things that this algorithm really looks at. It's what you watch or don't watch, watch time, which is how much time is spent watching video or a video, session time, which is how much time they, users spend watching videos during each visit, and then likes, dislikes, and not interested feedback. This last point is quite interesting because a couple of days ago, YouTube has actually come out and said they've improved the system for the likes and dislikes, and they're going to, even retrospectively from what I understand, go back and start to clean up the likes and dislikes, because there were a lot of bots, a lot of paid likes. And again, you know, this is one of those unfortunate influencer, or not just influencer actually, but unfortunate way that people want to boost their videos and content. But getting back to the algorithm, if we're looking at watch time, then basically it's really looking at the amount of time that you are consuming this specific video. When it comes to the actual watch time, it's also looking at the aggregate time on your channel. So channels that get a lot of watch time then also rank much higher, which is a pretty cool thing. So if you think about your channel as your homepage or web page in the normal Google search, this would be a kind of similar thing. And I think landing on your channel page is great, because then they can get the full scope of the videos that you have created, rather than just watching one video in isolation and then having to click through to your profile to see a little bit more about you. The thing to keep in mind though is that they do look at the actual length, or in proportion to the length of the video. So if someone watches a full 1 minute video versus creating a 2 hour video but they only watch the first minute, that video is not going to do well for you, and it's just definitely going to be detrimental for your channel. So do keep that in mind. It's really, you're aiming for creating the best possible content that will engage your audience and get them watching to the end. Then watch sessions is another metric that they look at. So, you know, one of the main things for YouTube is to keep viewers on the platform for as long as possible, and not necessarily watching your videos, but just watching any video. So if your content then drives people to watch another video, you're able to then aggregate watch time from that sort of total session until the person leaves YouTube. So that's really, really cool as well. If we were thinking about what are these couple of things that you can do to help improve your rankings, well, the staples are still there. So SEO, thumbnails, keep people watching, subscribers, playlists, and then just pretty much analyzing your analytics. So if we're thinking about YouTube SEO, great titles, great about, descriptors, tags, it's really still the key thing. And you need to make sure, as I mentioned before, that this information that you share via the title, the about, or the tags matches the content of your video. Because if it doesn't, and people click through for that specific reason that you had in the title and it's not in the video, people are not going to watch the full length or just drop off early, and it's really going to do that video disservice completely. So rather don't waste your time doing that. So you've ranked, and now you need to stand out. So you want people to click on your thumbnail. So thumbnails are still massive things. And you want to make sure that, again, you are conveying the content of the video in that thumbnail so that you're meeting the expectation of the person that clicks on it. You want to make sure that it's really good looking and stands out and is eye-catching, because you're going to be competing for that person's attention amongst all the other thumbnails. What's also quite good is to develop a brand, and not necessarily a brand, but having consistent looking thumbnails so that people can recognize videos that you have created based on that. You'll notice that a lot of the people that you follow, subscribe to on YouTube, have started doing this, and people are seeing some really great results. Then keep people watching by pretty much putting into play as many psychological tricks from a marketing perspective as you can. So as an example, in the intro, you could be doing an action which you're not showing the outcome, so you're leaving it as a cliffhanger to get people to watch further or ask them to watch till the end because there's a surprise or reveal or competition element or just something that would enable you to keep them watching for as long as possible. Then there's something called view velocity. And what this means is how many of your subscribers watch a video as soon as you've put it out there. So this is really where, you know, having a lot of subscribers comes into play. Even more importantly, a lot of engaged subscribers is important because the more people flock and drop whatever they're doing to watch a video in as close to when it was released as possible is going to really enhance your discoverability, and really that ranking is going to go through the roof. Playlist is still a massive thing, and it's really, you know, one of those ways where you are serving content after content based on what someone's just finished watching or just kind of watching it. And you want to be quite strategic in your approach to playlists. So don't just build miscellaneous ones. Try to group different pieces of content or videos into these playlists that make sense. Because if I'm watching a video for a specific tutorial and it's around a theme and there's something that expands on that, I'm going to watch that. And that's kind of how you want to think about it. You know, now, there's also an opportunity because, as I mentioned, there's session time. So if you don't have enough videos, what you can do is put an external video into your playlist, because if someone then clicks on that and carries on watching, you're still going to aggregate watch time to your channel. So, you know, that's another great opportunity there from a playlist perspective. Then the last thing is looking at your YouTube analytics. You know, there's a lot of really great data, and I'm not a math person necessarily myself, but I do find the analytics fascinating because it's like driving with your headlights on all of a sudden. You can see what's working, what's not. You can compare videos which do really well to videos which do poorly and dissect them. See what's working well. Why is this video working? What have I done here? What can I replicate in my other videos that will help me just get better rankings and watch time? So that's really key. The other thing also to remember is that one video can really affect the ranking of your channel. If it was an old video, don't be scared to remove it and maybe recreate it now that you are 6 months or 1 year into it. And, you know, your skills have improved, your understanding of the subject is so much better, and you can describe it in a much more engaging way, whatever the case may be. Don't be afraid to revisit content that you can see that it has volumes, and just redo it and put it out there and, you know, see if that does better, which most likely it would do. And it will just help the ranking of your channels. This still isn't a silver bullet that will enable you to rank ridiculously high without putting in the time and effort, but it's still a massive opportunity. So don't put it off until tomorrow. Get busy today, and yeah, catch you soon.
You've been listening to the Fame Up TV podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe for more. If you have the time, please also leave a comment or review. Knowing what you think means the world to us.